The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by the Cheap Seat Entertainment Network.
Holy heartbeat!
Welcome to another episode of the Open Mic Podcast.
Excellent!
With your host, Brett Allen.
Well, isn't that extra special?
Recorded live at Bay Area Studios. Join Brett each week as he interviews celebrities, influencers, authors, high-level entrepreneurs, and much more. At the open mic, no topic is off limits.
Giddy up.
And you never know who may stop by. Now, here's your host, Brett Allen.
Today on the Open Mic Podcast, we have the talented actress Tammy Stronach. You will know her as the childlike empress from the iconic cult film, The NeverEnding Story. That's right, Tammy Stronach is on the show, and we are here to talk about her experiences and memories from The NeverEnding Story, along with an upcoming film that she has called Man and Witch, what she's been up to, her love for dance, raising a family, and what has been cooking for the last several years. Tammy, she's the best, and I'm excited for you to enjoy this interview. Tammy, welcome into the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we are chatting with Tammy Stronach. We all know her from The NeverEnding Story, and we're going to get into that, but there are far more important things to talk about right now. The big question is how has life been for you during quarantine? What have you been up to? What's been keeping you busy? And are you binge watching anything, or is it just a lot of family time?
I am okay during quarantine. I feel like I've been relatively lucky in all of this. Nobody immediately close to me has gotten sick or passed away, but I do have friends who have had that experience. And so, you know, we share the same world. And so there is this kind of, you know, uncertainty and sadness in the air that's just kind of with us right now. It's a really surreal time. It's impossible not to, you know, kind of absorb that and be worried about people. I have been doing yoga I started a yoga class. Initially, it was just free for whoever wanted to join for 2 months every day. And now it's a drop-in class because I just was so anxietal. I needed to find a way to just channel all of that. So that's
sure.
Actually something that was positive that came out of COVID. And I started to make little dances at home with my daughter because she's not going to school. So trying to find the silver lining in just kind of being with family and then just doing yoga, actually.
Yeah, when you started the online yoga, did people connect with it in the way because they know you from your career as an actor? Or was it like, this is something new? Because I imagine for people who, I'm 46, so this is definitely within my generation. What was it that drove people to want to connect with you in that way as far as yoga and made it so, like, was it overwhelming? Were you just getting so many people interested? Like, what was that all about?
So it's, you know, I started it with just some friends who knew me from my life and from my time as a dancer. I'm a dance professor as well. So people who knew me from that world. And then it wasn't overwhelming. Just a few NeverEnding Story people joined, I think mostly out of curiosity for the NeverEnding Story, but then they ended up really feeling better and liking the yoga. And it's been so nice. It kind of created this special space where everything just kind of blended together, friends from 100 years, you know, really old friends to new people. And I really enjoy the informality of it and the fact that we're all just, trying to take care of ourselves together.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I feel like all of us hopefully will come out of this with a new skill or something different about our lives, right? Because I think that, you know, we've been in this now going on 4 months, and at least where I'm at in the Bay Area, you know, there's no real end in sight. I mean, obviously we know it will end, but I've come up with new and creative ways. I have a child myself. He's six. He
you
just
do.
Turned six. Yeah. So we've been spending a lot of time at home.
I love that. I love that sign.
Well, how old is yours, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I totally understand. Mine is 9.
Okay, so we're somewhat close.
There's not a lot for kids to do.
There's not.
It's super challenging.
And so we're on a summer schedule. You know, his mom has him for 7 days, and then I have him for 7. And they just recently moved back from Monterey, so we've been readjusting to that. On top of that, we've decided we're going to homeschool for first grade because the schools are just being so wonky about opening up. And not to make this a political conversation, but it's crazy. So now we're homeschooling. So now I'm like, okay, this is going to be different. And his mom is, you know, she's excited about it. And I think it will be fun because they've already started learning things. And my son loves music, which is great. I think that's awesome because I love music. And so he has inherited that trait. And they've been doing music class and things. And this weekend, funny enough, we're going to watch your film because he has not seen it yet. Yeah. So I'm excited to introduce him to that world and all of that. But you've got a new film that you're working on, Man and Witch. And this has been all over the news as far as what you're doing and who is starring in it. And as much as you can talk about it, what can people expect from this? What was it that interested you? And I mean, what is it all about, Man and Witch?
This was another funny thing. I did not expect to be able to get the funding and create that. I mean, the whole thing, the ball just started rolling almost faster than I can keep up with it, to be really honest.
Sure, that's usually how it works.
I started a kids entertainment company when my daughter was born. Before that, I was a choreographer. I had my own company for 20 years in New York. And then when I had a kid, I just got really curious about how to stimulate young minds and how to bring high quality art to them. And I really was interested in music and in stories that don't talk down to kids, that value their intelligence. And so we did a lot of local shows, and I would have workshops afterwards, also a teacher where there'd be an educational component. And then we finally looked at each other. I'd been going to a bunch of Comic-Cons, and everyone's like, when are you going to do another film? When are you going to do another film? And my husband was like, why don't we just make the next Paper Canoe project a film? Because we'd been making albums and puppet shows and plays and things. And I was like, sure. And so we started cooking it up in our kitchen. And then this whole thing just, we met our director, Rob Margolies, who loved the story. And it was wonderful. His son is actually named Bastion. So an Everything Story is a really important film for him.
Oh, wow.
And he was like, I'm going to drop everything and I'm going to eat, live, breathe this project. And I'm going to do everything until it gets off the ground. And we were like, wow, okay. And then we got our investor, and just everything kind of went from there. And then we just had such great luck because, I mean, it's terrible that we're in COVID, but like you say, you have to kind of ask yourself where the silver lining is and where the opportunities lie. And for us, it was that we were able to get our script into the hands of some incredible actors who I just am so thrilled are going to be part of the film now. So we have Sean Astin, who's going to narrate the film as the dog, and Jim Henson's making our puppets, which is also incredible.
Wow.
And then Rhea Perlman's going to play my mother, and Christopher Lloyd's going to play my father.
Hello.
So I have really great parents in the film. And it's really a tribute to these 80s films that we all, like my generation, grew up on and loved. But it's also kind of playful, and we want to subvert some of the things that need to be updated about 80s films. So it's definitely, you know, much more feminist than maybe some of those films were. And the witch is the sort of my character is really nuanced, and it's hard. It's a hard role to play. It's exciting and challenging. She's very dramatic, but she's also got to be really funny. So I am, you know, really excited about diving into this really juicy role. And then there's just all kinds of little funny twists and unexpected subversions that we're putting inside of this kind of nostalgic fantasy frame.
Wow, I'm excited. Well, let's get life moving on here, world, and start this film in production, because, I mean, seriously, you know, and it's interesting because you've got such a iconic cast in this. I mean, goodness gracious. And I like the idea of doing a love letter to the 80s films, those, you know, whether it be fantasy films. I like the idea also that you are kind of nuancing a little bit more, focusing on more of the positive things about women, you know, feminism, whatever the case might be, whatever topics you're going to tackle. I think that's awesome. And you
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. And it also is very cool in the fact that, you know, you've got films like The Neverending Story or The Princess Bride, or, you know, the list goes on and on, where there's these stories and now you're kind of going, okay, let's do something similar, but let's make it the same theme, but, you know, for today's culture and things that people will appreciate, which I think it's good. Exactly. You know, you can't just stay in the past, right? It doesn't work that way.
No. And who would want to? I mean, I think that one of the things that I love about those 80s films is the fact that before there was a lot of CGI, one had to really rely on the story to
right.
carry it and on the transformation of the characters. And so that's something I really, we're really trying to go back to. And then also the puppetry, the Jim Henson world. I'm a dancer, so for me, movement and how something moves is something I just think it's fun. It's just so playful and fun to explore. And so having like the human hand manipulate and lift an ear and cock, you know, the head sideways when it's curious. And I just love that there's a human being inside of there animating it. And that's very 80s. And so all the things we love about the 80s, we're kind of making an homage to. But then, you know, it is 2020 and it is time to have a diverse cast and it is time for the female character to be kind of more nuanced. And so I think that, you know, and then also it's really playful. There's so much humor in this script. And I think The Princess Bride is a perfect film. I don't know. I just think it's perfect.
It is.
And, you know, that was one of those films that came out and just, I don't know, just blew my mind. The tone of it and just how funny it was. And yet the heart of it, the belief in love, conquering all obstacles, was very serious. Like, that wasn't a joke. That was real. And I think there's something really fun about this stylistic, but that the heart of it is actually very serious. And this is definitely one of those love will conquer all kinds of stories. That's all I can say.
No, I think that's great. No, that's more than expected, to be honest. Some people...
Yeah.
I can't say anything, but I mean, you're talking about things that have been made available, like to the press, like myself. So yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be really good. And make no mistake, like you said, Princess Bride, the subcontext or the subtext to that story is very serious, right? You know, it's not just these two people frolicking around for 2 hours. And there's a lot going on in that film. And of course, you know, when you get to be my age or whatnot, you realize, oh, wow, this is a pretty serious film. And you don't catch that, though, you know, when you're watching it. At least I didn't, obviously, or have the sensibility to understand. So let's talk about The Neverending Story. First question,
sure.
Has your daughter seen it? Has she watched it? Does she have any interest in it? Or is it like, oh, this is mom and I have to imagine it's kind of almost interesting for her, because when you made that film, you were probably close to the same age, right? I would imagine.
And the crazy thing is she's going to be in this film. So
very cool.
She's actually going to be making her first screen debut, very similar age to me. So that's really fun. I love that. There's kind of a funny poetry to that. So, you know, my daughter grew up with me as a choreographer and as a director. She spent a lot of her time in the Baby Bjorn in theaters on my chest while I'm dancing and choreographing.
Oh, wow.
She spent a lot of time in rehearsal rooms watching me direct. And so she's grown up, you know, with all of this stuff all around her. So for her, I think it surprised her that, you know, so many people had heard of The Neverending Story. That was new for her. But she really has grown up in a house full of puppets and costumes and dancers. And this is her her world. So I think that in some ways, you know, it was just a sort of fun, normal extension of the sort of bizarre, magic, funny house we live in.
Yeah.
But she loves it. She loves the Neverending Story, and she has my little figurines that I was given when I left Germany. She plays with them, and I think, you know, she has been asking to be in our project since the time she was in some. She did a few little shows with me that were really, really fun when she was little, and so she's really excited to kind of join the team.
Yeah, well, that's great. And it has to be fantastic for you as parents, too, to have her have that desire to want to continue on the family legacy, right, and be a performer. Does she show interest in dancing as well?
She does. She's not a ballerina. I tried, and I loved it, but it's just not her cup of tea at all. I'm also a choreographer, and I teach improvisation, so I think she loves improvising. We did a bunch of improvisatory shows. We did one at the Whitney she was in. Like, you know, she's really, really interested in improvisation, but hip-hop's her thing. So she is taking hip-hop classes, and she's way better at it than me. So, you know, I'm excited that she wants to move and that she's physical and that she wants to express herself, you know, through movement. You know, also important that she find her own way through that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, she has great parents who can guide her in the fact that you have this experience and you've been in this business for a very long time. The Neverending Story is just such an iconic film, and after all of these years, without a doubt, it still holds. How is it for you now watching that film and looking back on that? Is it a surprise to you at all that it has done so well and stood the test of time for so long, or not at all?
Oh my gosh, it's such a surprise. I don't think anyone can know, you know, how something that they're a part of is going to impact it. And actually, the Neverending Story sort of disappeared for a while. I would say that, you know, through my 20s, no one ever talked about it. And I was busy dancing, and it wasn't part of my life at all. And when I would audition for things or write grants, I didn't put it down. No one cared. It's not going to help me in what I was doing, you know, at the time. So it just wasn't really relevant. But then it's so funny that somehow it's percolated up in, maybe it's just because all the people that watched it when they were kids finally have kids of their own and they want to share it with them. And so I'm guessing that maybe that something about the just the timing where, like, me too, I'm showing Maya E.T. and I'm showing her, you know, all the movies that I loved when I was her age. And so I think maybe that's why it's percolated back into the consciousness. And then it was on Stranger Things and that, you know, final episode. And so it's funny, it's just kind of come back, and I feel really honored to be a part of it. I didn't expect it. It's incredible luck to be part of a story that is meaningful to people. And so, I just feel super grateful. And now that I'm so much older, the joy in it is really just, it's an opportunity to connect with people. It's a way to kind of have a shared, like, oh yeah, we were part of this thing together. And I think the world is hard right now, and COVID is hard, and there's a lot of things that are hard. And so I think one of the complicated questions is, how do you create stories that aren't just escapism? They're entertaining and they're meaningful, but they're also an opportunity to reflect on our ability to stay hopeful, or our ability to use imagination to problem solve. And maybe the stories that really stick, like the Neverending Story, have that deeper layer of something that we need to keep reminding ourselves of to kind of fight through the dark times and build something a little brighter.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Tammy. And that's just a beautiful answer, better than I could have ever asked for, because you just never know with those types of films, because you have actors like yourself who have this one. I mean, you've obviously done other amazing things, you know, but that is kind of...
No, that was my only screen time, for sure.
Well, yeah, of course. In regards to like your creativity and your dancing, and you've continued on the creative process is what I meant to say, yeah. Versus like,
yeah.
You had this one role and then that was it. We didn't hear from you again. And now you're, you know, working in finance in West Hollywood or something like that, you know, which,
yeah.
Which happens because it's funny. There was another actor who was in a classic 80s film that I reached out to, and they don't want to. And it was a very iconic role for this person,
yeah.
And really defined them in this movie. And at this point in time, they just don't have any interest in talking about it. It's just, it's far removed from their life. And they do have a job, a business job. They're an entrepreneur, ironically, and they do VC and startup. And so when I reached out to him, he's like, you know, I appreciate it. If you want to talk about what I'm doing now, then I'm totally down for it. But I would prefer to not discuss this part of my life anymore because it's a closed chapter. And I can respect that. You know, I appreciate the honesty,
yeah.
Versus, you know, me not asking and then getting into an interview and going, okay, let's talk about this. And then just, you know, getting shut down or making somebody feel uncomfortable and just not want to be a part of a conversation, if that makes any sense. So thank you for
totally
just sharing this moment with me and just kind of talking about this time in your life. And, you know, several years, decades later, you can pop it on and watch it. And we love the costumes and the 80s music. And it was before CGI was cool. And you made it work, you know, in a studio somewhere with green screen or what, however they did it at the time.
Yeah.
It was believable and fantastic. Now, outside of all of this creativity and other things that you have done, kind of looking back on your life and everything that you've done, would you have done anything differently as far as continuing to pursue acting and auditioning for things? Or was that kind of it for you? And we know you did other things in between there, but
yeah.
would you have done anything differently or kept it the same?
I mean, I feel like I was very conscious and strategic about how I organized my career path. My parents were archaeologists, and
right.
They really would not have fared well trying to dump their careers and go be managers in Hollywood. It just would have just not worked, you know? And I totally respect that they felt that it was important for me to have a normal childhood to create a kind of foundation and a grounding. And then when I was applying for college and thinking about what to do, I said to myself, you know, I love dancing and I love acting and I have to choose right now. And you can only dance for a limited period of time because it's a physical thing and your body ages and your bones, your discs degenerate, and that's just a reality. So I'll dive into dance and I'll dance as much as I possibly can. And then I'll go back to acting if it's still a flame that's burning. And of course, that's completely crazy because nobody decides to go back into acting in their late 40s. Everyone tells you that Hollywood is not really clamoring for women to do that. But you don't think that way when you're 20. You're just kind of following your heart, or at least I was. You know, the reason I like to talk about the Neverending Story is that I think that the message of it is to just do what you dream. And even if it seems crazy and bananas, if it's a pure intention that's there to kind of inspire other people or help move the world in a positive direction, then you should just go for it. And I love the sort of quixoticness of that. And I think it's exciting to kind of get back into acting now after a whole career in dance, partly because it's kind of what the Neverending Story was all about, which is just, even if it's nuts, do it anyway.
Yeah.
Imagine a path forward, make your own road. And I hope that for, you know, I think that right now in Hollywood, there's a lot of female actresses that are kind of taking things into their own hands and creating roles that they want to play and getting it financed and producing it. So executive producing for this film is really exciting for me. It's an opportunity to kind of bring the kinds of stories into the cultural landscape that I think would be meaningful for the next generation and really fun as well. So I think, you know, for me, I love talking about the Neverending Story because not so much because it's about me, but because when I meet people, they're like, you know, I watched that movie and I chose to become a singer, or I chose to become a photographer, or I chose to become an entrepreneur. And, you know, everyone said I couldn't do it, but I did what I dreamed. And, you know, so I feel like that really That's why I am drawn to art, is it's an opportunity to kind of connect with people and together, you know, help all of us kind of aim a little higher in terms of what we hope we could, you know, build.
Yeah. And I think, too, with the way our culture is now versus however many years ago that this film was made, you know, the way films are made now and the way films can get made now are completely different, right? Like, you don't necessarily need a studio to finance your film, which obviously is helpful. But when you go and you finance this yourself, you crowdfund or however you do it, you have the ability to have more creative control also with your story. And of course, people are attracted to you because obviously the never ending story is a big staking point, but it's an opportunity to tell a really good story and to get Sean Astin, who is an industry veteran. And, you know, I mean, he did a film with D.B. Sweeney. I don't know if you saw it. It was like a YouTube film, Two Dumb Mix. And it was absolutely hilarious. And I had DB on the show a while ago and we talked about this film. And, you know, to get Sean Astin, who is a veteran, and yourself and just everybody else who is involved, Rhea Perlman, I mean, goodness gracious. And to say we want to make this film, but we're doing it just for the pure creativity of creating art and something that we know people are going to like, right? And that's how you do it. I think there's something about that.
And we really are, it is really kind of a, just a fun homage to like our generation. And I think, you know, we're making it for 80s fans and parents who want to share this kind of film with their kids, but like an updated version of it. So, I mean, I think part of it has just been so shocking how much encouragement we've got. And I feel that that's the engine that's motivating me. People are like, make this, like, we want to see it. And it's, you know, I don't have a Hollywood studio behind me. It's really just a passion project. And so the encouragement that we've been shown has just meant so much to us.
Yeah, I think the response has been just absolutely amazing. And when I saw you on social media promoting this, I reached out to your agent, your publicist, Clint, and I was like, dude, we got to get her on the show because this is huge. And, you know, 6 months from now, who knows? It might be impossible to get you. So I was like, let's get her on. Let's talk about this. And it's great. You can make a film now so easily. And there's a bajillion streaming services that you can put your project on as well.
I wouldn't say so easily. It's a 12-hour a day job.
Well, yeah. Well, let me back that up.
You can do it on your own. Yes.
Not so easily. Yes, I have done background work. So yeah, it can wind up to be a long day. What I meant to say was, you just don't have the reins of the studio around your neck. You know, calling all the shots per se. And yeah, it's not so easy. If anybody's listening, to make a film, to take one scene and do that could take 12 or 13 hours. So it's a lot of work. You know, so I apologize. I didn't mean to.
I was just teasing. I was just
yada yada that. You know, yada yada yada. We made a film. You know, no. There's a lot of work to it, but to be able to garner financing and to just get the press behind it as well is just a big deal. And Man and Witch, you know, hopefully as things progress in our country and we can go back to normal, I know they're starting to put some programs in place for production. I know some places like Canada have started filming and some shows have gone into production and then some have gone in and had to shut down, you know, because half of the cast or crew breaks out with COVID. I know Tyler Perry they had started production and then had to shut down again. So fingers crossed, you know, that and hopes and prayers for our country that we can get through this and you can make this amazing film and continue to do the con circuit, I'm sure, and make appearances with your cast members and connect with people.
Thank you so much. Definitely fingers crossed for our whole country that everyone can just get back to having normal life, that they can find work if they've lost it, that they can go back to work if they were on furlough or something. I mean, it's just, it is a crazy, crazy moment we're all living through. But I do think that one of the things that we need when things are really, really crazy is just stories that make us feel connected to one another. So that's what I know how to do, and that's what I'm going to make through this crazy period, and we'll all just pray that, you know, everyone gets through it as best they can.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And continue to stay safe and with your family. And it's just fun watching you on social. That's how we get into your world in its sort of odd
and,
voyeuristic way.
You know, if people want to have a little bit of a behind the scenes look into the making of Man and Witch, I love the fact that it's a new era and that it's a more do-it-yourself era and that we can be more human and more open and just share things. So we really are opening up the stage door to people. And if you go to my website, which is just tammystronach.com, there's a Man and Witch tab. And if you want to sign on, we're going to send photos. We're going to send updates. We're going to let you know first who the next person that we cast is. And we just really feed off of the fact that, like, okay, there's people out there that are wanting to see this. We're going to keep going, put in that 13th hour.
Yeah.
So it's just a lovely way to be connected. So I would really encourage anyone that's interested to go check it out and sign up. And we're going to be preparing lots of little goodies to release through that.
Yes, very exciting. Well, Tammy, thank you for joining me on the show today. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And have a safe and healthy time yourself. Thank you for all your kind words.
That brings today's episode to an end. Thanks for choosing to stop by and listen. If you enjoyed the show, consider sharing it with a friend and hitting the subscribe button. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
Until next time, cheers. Today's episode of the Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Cheap Seat Entertainment.